going to be studying a passage from God's Word today. If you do not have your own Bible, there is a stack on a table right by that post, and you're welcome to get up right now and pick up one of those. The passage we're looking at is 1 Timothy 4. So if you need a Bible, go ahead and grab one. If you're using one of these Bibles, it's page 840. If you're using your own Bible, 1 Timothy is kind of near the back of the New Testament, so maybe 30 pages from the end of your Bible or so. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And before we start reading from these verses, we're going to watch a short clip. And I'm sure you'll be asking yourself, what does this have to do with 1 Timothy chapter 4? And that's what we'll figure out. Let's watch together.
Good evening. I'm interested in buying a hearing aid.
I'm sorry?
I'm interested in buying a hearing aid.
I didn't quite get it.
I want to buy a hearing aid.
Ah. Hang on just one moment. I'll just switch the radio off.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear. The radio was too loud.
Pardon? I'm sorry, I don't think my hearing aid's working properly. I've only had it a couple of days. Hang on. Yes, there we are. Working now.
Is it good?
About £14.
Yes, but is it good?
No, it fits in the pocket here.
Can you hear me?
What?
Can you hear me? Oh, contact lenses.
What?
You want contact lenses?
No. Oh, well, I'll get Dr. Waring then. He does the contact lenses.
What does that have to do with this? 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. The Spirit clearly says that in later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and the things taught by demons. Such teachings will come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. They forbid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and who know the truth. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer. If you point these things out to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. In this passage, we have the Apostle Paul. And he is writing a letter to Timothy. Timothy is kind of a young leader, somebody who's known to be a little bit sickly and shy, maybe somebody that we can actually relate to a little bit better than the Apostle Paul, who seems to be courageous in all things and prayerful at all times and completely wonderful and so totally serving of God, and seems a little like, wow, that's hard to imitate. But here's Timothy, and Paul has put Timothy in charge of this church because Paul can't get to that location for a while. And he says, Timothy, take care of this church. Take care of my people. And as to take care of them, here are some important instructions for you. So we read in 1 Timothy some of those instructions. And the first thing that Paul says here to him is, Timothy, beware. Beware that there could be a problem with your hearing. You can't believe everything that you hear. Because in verse 1 and 2 he says, the Spirit clearly says, that is the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in later times some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings will come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. You know, this is a great way for Satan to work, to be deceitful, to be deceptive, to make us think that something is true that isn't really true. In other parts of the Bible, Satan is called the father of lies. He kind of messes with our hearing. What's interesting in this passage is that the some people that Paul talks about are not necessarily non-Christian people, people who are far from God. They're actually leaders in the church. These are actually leaders in the church who think that they're doing the right thing, but aren't. In fact, the passage says, over time their consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. It's kind of like they've become numb. The nerve endings of their conscience don't even work anymore. And so when that little piece in their head says, oh no, that's not right, they just ignore it. Or when that little piece in their head says, oh, you should help that person, they just ignore it. And so over time, those nerve endings in their conscience just become dead. They're seared as with a hot iron. And so these well-intending people in the church end up not being able to hear very well because for so long they've ignored what they are supposed to hear. And so Satan uses those people. He uses those dead nerve endings as a foothold, as a way to gain traction, even in the church. In 2 Corinthians 11, 14 and 15, we read that Satan masquerades himself as an angel of light. It is not surprising, then, if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Here's the deal. It's not easy to hear the right voice. Let's just admit that. As my son's basketball coach says, and Henry alludes to this a lot, doesn't he? But there's one good phrase he says, if this were easy, everybody could do it well. Right? If this were easy, everybody could do it well. It is not always easy to hear the right voice. And sometimes we see these well-known Christians or something and make it seem so easy, and we feel like, oh, I just can't even do it, that I turn my hearing aid off. Is that how we're supposed to respond to that? Just because it's not easy doesn't mean that we should just ignore it and let it go. But then, we might become one of these Christian leaders whose nerves become dead, whose hearts are cauterized and dead to their conscience's warning. People sometimes listen to voices that do get them in trouble. The easiest example of this is in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, isn't it? Adam and Eve had a great 10-second opportunity. They had an opportunity to make the right decision when the serpent came to them and said, oh, you know, you don't have to listen to what God says. In fact, you should eat from this tree. This is a really nice tree. And if you eat from this tree, you'll be able to know good and evil. So they had this decision to make. They could listen to what Satan says and eat from that tree, or they could listen to what God had said and not. And they listened to the wrong voice. They made the wrong decision. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, but I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's coming, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. You might have that sincere and pure devotion to Christ, but if you're listening to the wrong thing, if you're listening to the wrong voice, you're being deceived. When does that happen to us? When does that happen to us in 2012? I think it happens when you're reading through a fashion magazine and begin telling ourselves that I'm not going to be loved unless I'm thinner or unless I'm prettier or unless I have that outfit. I think we're deceived when the commercial on the television says you're not going to be happy until you're driving this car. I think you're deceived when peer pressure tells you Don't speak up. Don't advocate for justice or fairness, because you're really going to ruin your reputation here. I think we're deceived when the news tells us to be afraid. Be very afraid. The world is coming to an end. But none of these things are true. They're all deceptions. They're all lies that will keep us from following God. And so in verse 7, Paul gives Timothy this instruction. He says, "Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly." You might need a hearing aid, he says. In fact, we all need a hearing aid. And do you know what your hearing aid to hear God is? It's this. It's that book that you're holding in your hand right now. That is the hearing aid that we all need in order to hear God's voice. And one thing that the Bible tells us is that everything that God created is good. Verse 4, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the word of God in prayer." Everything God creates is good. He is the antithesis to Satan and his deceitful ways. We know that if it comes from the mouth of God, if it comes from the heart of God, we know without a doubt that it is true and it is good. Isn't this reassuring? We never have to second guess God or wonder if God's really right, if he's trying to trick us about something. God's word is always true and always good. In the book, The 10-Second Rule, Claire gives an example about what it is like to hear and follow God's voice. He says this, "When I was a child, if one of my friends had said, 'Your mother wants you to help the next person you meet who needs it,' I would have believed them. Given my mother's character, that sounds like something she would do herself, and therefore like something she might ask of me. I wouldn't have had to personally hear her voice to confirm my friend's message. Her life was the message. And so it is with Jesus' life. Jesus' followers recognize his voice because they've studied his words and his life so intently that they've developed a spiritual ear for God." When we know God's voice in this book, when we know Jesus' ways, when we can imagine how he would respond to a situation because we know his character so well, then we know that in that 10 seconds, we can hear and respond to the right voice. When we are in tune with God's message in the Bible, we can test the things that the world tells us. When fashion magazines tell us that you're not going to be loved until you're thinner or prettier, you'll hear God say, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God," from 1 John 3, verse 1. When the commercial on television says that you're not going to be happy unless you're driving that special car, you remember Jesus' words in Matthew 6. "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." When your peers pressure you to not speak up to advocate for justice or fairness because you're afraid of ruining your reputation, you remember that Pastor Henry last week preached on Luke chapter 9 when Jesus says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. If anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Or when the news tells you to be very afraid that the world is coming to an end, to combat those feelings of fear, you'll remember the words from Psalm 121. "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip, but he who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And so Paul says, do not listen to old wise tales. Rather, train yourselves to be godly. Literally, exercise yourself into godliness. You might be like me and immediately think that this phrase is all about me. It's about getting me to be something better, right? Because exercise is all about that. It's all about me hitting the road every day and going out running mile after mile. But actually, this verse is not about me, and it's not really about you, because exercise into godliness, literally godliness means reverence for God. So what happens when we exercise ourselves into reverence for God? This is all about God. This is all about who He is and the glory and the power and the worship that He deserves. We need to train ourselves into reverence for God. It's interesting, too, that Paul says to train. He doesn't come and say, oh, just try harder. Because often we leave church on a Sunday morning, and that's the first thing in our minds, right? Oh, yeah, I'm going to try to do that better this week. I'm going to try to do one of those 10-second things sometime this week, right? I'm just going to try harder. And then Monday morning comes, and not so much, right? We fail. We think, ugh, that didn't work. I just have to try harder, I guess. But Paul doesn't come and say try. He says to train. And if you talk to anybody who's a marathoner or any type of athlete, training isn't a one-time event. Training is every single morning when you wake up, thinking about what do I need to do today to make myself better in that area. And when Paul says here, train yourself into reverence for God, every morning we wake up and we say, what do I need to do today to bring reverence to God? What is the thing in my life? What is my 10-second opportunity today, maybe? Or what else is it that helps me train better for reverence for God? 10-second rule is about learning to hear God's voice in the little things and about learning to obey it. Claire, in his book, also says this: is there something you're reasonably certain God has been impressing you to do for your own spiritual growth? The rule isn't only about helping others. I think it's easy, and we naturally fall back on some really great stories about how we've been able to share God's love with other people these last few weeks. And I do think that's what God wants us to be doing. But I also wonder if God's voice is speaking to us about what we should be doing to train ourselves in reverence for God. What does that have to do with the Bible in your life? What does that have to do with knowing it, with memorizing it, with immersing yourself in it so that you can hear and know God's voice? In verse 8 in this passage, Paul says, "Being is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." When you wake up each morning and think to yourself, what do I need to do today? Isn't it great to know that you're doing something that has eternal consequences? If you're going to spend time making yourself a better person in one area, wouldn't it be nice to do that for something that has eternal consequences? Not just something that's going to help you in the next week or the next month or the next few years, but forever? Paul says to Timothy, tell your people this. Train yourself in these things because they have eternal consequences. Train yourself in reverence for God because it has eternal consequences. For these eternal consequences, he says, we labor and strive that we have put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all people and especially of those who believe. We put our hope in something much bigger than anything that we could accomplish within a day or a week. We put our hope in something that God has accomplished, in His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to be a sacrifice for the sins of the entire world, who came that He may overcome death and have life, that we also may have life. This is the God who is speaking to us. This is the voice that we need to hear. This is what we need to tune ourselves to be able to hear. This is the God of the Bible. This is His story. And it is His story for us. When Paul says here that we labor and strive, he's indicating that there is an extreme urgency to this message. We need to share God's word with the world, and in order to share it, we must know it. We need to be able to speak God's message to the world, and in order to speak it, we must be able to hear it. And it's important because there is a decision to be made on the world's part. It is our job to hear God's voice, to know it, to receive instruction about how we are to live out His calling in our lives, so that the message that we read here, that the God that we hear about here, is the God that we share both through our words and our actions in our everyday lives. So as we go into this week, as we think about this 10-second rule and living that out, I want you to think about it as a way to train, not to just try, and a way to train yourself to be godly, to be able to hear God's voice, and to be able to live it out in order to show reverence to God. What is it that God is asking you to do this week? Maybe like Claire said, maybe it's not so much about who you're helping, but maybe it's about yourself right now. How many times a day does God prompt you to say, I wonder what I'm saying to you in my word right now? And you think, I'm too busy, I'll do it later. Or how many times does God say, maybe you should just pray for that person right now? And you think, I'll do it quietly later. I don't want to embarrass myself. When God says those things, I encourage you to do them, and to do them within 10 seconds before you change your mind. Dear God, we come before You now and first of all thank You and praise You and marvel that You are a God who speaks to us very clearly in Your Word. That is such a gift to us. You don't leave us wondering about whether what You say is true or good because You promise us that it is. And Lord, we ask for You to increase the desire in our hearts for Your word. Make us thirsty for it. Make us long to know You and to know Your character so that when we hear Your voice throughout the week, we immediately know it and can follow it. Lord, we also pray for those opportunities this week. Opportunities to get to know You better, opportunities to serve You in our world. May we hear those prompts from You, Lord, and may we obey them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.